Morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are back in 1 John chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to encourage you to take it and turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And we're reading verses 5 through 8 together. Let's go ahead and read it, please. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, when we were going through this passage of Scripture, one of the things that we saw is that it teaches us that Christ is really incomparable and unique. There is no one like him. And so the reason that John writes this passage is he wants us to understand that we have to embrace who Christ actually is in order to actually be a Christian. And so he puts it like this: he who overcomes the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That little phrase is so important. The overcomer is the one who has a certain belief about Christ's nature. Christ is man, Jesus of Nazareth. And also he's the second person of the triune God. So we're talking about someone who is God in flesh, and a person who is one of the three persons of the Godhead. And so we've really spent a good bit of time talking about that. We talked about, first of all, the uniqueness of him being God in flesh. And then yesterday we talked about the fact that he's the third person in the Trinity. Today, I'd like to focus on that last little part of these verses, and that's what we find in verse 8. He says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. One of the things that we see is that in the Old Testament, there was a principle established that whenever a judgment was to be discerned, it needed to be made in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, one person's witness would not be enough to condemn a person. A person had to have, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, demonstrably, they had to be guilty before they could be condemned legally. And so one of the things that we see in the Bible is that there are times that we have a statement, and the statement is going to be verified not by just one location, but by three locations or three individuals. And so in this verse, it talks about the three persons of the triune God demonstrating that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is. But now he's going to emphasize three other things. Three witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And you may ask, well, what in the world does he mean by the Spirit, the water, and the blood? Well, really what he's talking about is three different aspects or time periods within the ministry of the Messiah where his person and work were validated or demonstrated. Times when there was a witness stated about who Jesus was. The first of those witnesses is the Spirit. Now, when he emphasizes that, he's really not just talking about a time during the ministry of Christ, but he's talking about the fact that all throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, and through the speaking of the prophets and through the writing of the prophets, there were certain things that were stated about who Jesus would be. For instance, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was going to be conceived in the womb of a virgin. He talks about certain aspects about him coming into Jerusalem on a donkey and them looking on him who they have pierced. He talks about somebody coming, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. These are just some of the examples of the fact that the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit through the prophets in the Old Testament, gives a witness to who the Messiah would be. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ comes on this earth, there was a certain set of criteria that he had to meet in order for his ministry to be validated. So when John talks about the ministry or the witness of the Spirit, he's emphasizing the fact that the Holy Spirit moved through these prophets in the Old Testament, and he gave us clear instruction to who Christ would be, what he would do, where he would be born, the circumstances connected to that, the way that he would be, that he would die, the circumstances leading up to his death, all of those things, they're talked about by the prophets, by the mouth of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea is that that was the first witness. If you want to know who Jesus is, then look at the Old Testament. Look at what the Spirit testifies as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then you will have a strong witness validating that he's God in flesh. He's the second person of the triune God. He is the only Savior of the world. But then there's a second witness that he talks about. And that's the witness of the water. And you say, well, what does he mean by the witness of the water? Well, the witness of the water is really connecting our minds to the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry. And so in order to see that, we need to go to Matthew chapter 3, which is one of the places where we find in the Gospels the record of the events that took place at Jesus' baptism. And I think that this is what is John is referring to. And by the way, John was present. He would have seen what was going on. So John the Baptist has been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Prepare the way for the Messiah. Make straight the path for our God. And then one day he sees Jesus coming up to the Jordan River. And remember, John the Baptist was a cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they would have probably grown up together as children, if you want to put it in that way. So John knew who Jesus was. Not only did John know who Jesus was, but he also knew as a prophet who Jesus was. In fact, it's interesting. The Bible tells us that when Mary was communicating with Elizabeth, and when John's father was talking about John's naming, he prophesies that this little baby is going to be the one who prepares the way for Messiah. So the truth is that John would have understood exactly who Jesus was. And one day as he's baptizing in the river, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." What is that? He is testifying to who Jesus is. But that's not the only thing that took place on that day. When he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You need to baptize me in the Jordan River." And he did this to fulfill all righteousness, basically to demonstrate that he was aligning with this message that John was preaching. John was preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as the Jewish, the folks there in Judea were listening to his message, and they believed his message that the Messiah was coming, that they were a broken, fallen, sinful people, and they needed the Messiah for salvation. They would demonstrate that they believed that message by going to the Jordan River and being baptized. Jesus was saying, that message is true. I am validating that message. But listen to what happens when Jesus goes into the river. It says in verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. And John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said, Suffer it not so to be. For thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him," or he allowed him. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, what's really interesting is in that passage, we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all three persons of the Godhead in communication in that event. But the thing that really should stand out to us about this is really two things. One is it says that the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. And what's interesting is in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit would come upon the Messiah at a point in time to begin his ministry. That is what's going on. In other words, he is these disciples who were being baptized and watching all these things. They saw a fulfillment of the prophecy regarding Christ and the empowerment by the Holy Spirit. But there's even more that's stated here. It says that there's a voice in heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What is that? That is the witness of God the Father. Okay? So we've had the witness of the Spirit. All right? Now we have the witness of God the Father. He's saying, "That is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that's who John's talking about here. when he talks about the witness of the water, he's talking about when Jesus was baptized, this is what took place. But then he has a third event or witness that he talks about, and that is the witness of the blood. And he's referring to the point in time when Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And so if we go to Matthew 27, we're going to see some of the events surrounding that moment. God testified of Christ's uniqueness at the culmination of his messianic ministry on the cross. Notice carefully the details in Matthew 27, verses 45 and following. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, let this be, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth began to quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now why did the centurion and these other people make that statement? It's because there was a sign validating that Christ indeed was the Messiah. And so you have darkness in the middle of the day, you have the earth shaking, you have the graves opening, and these people recognize, you know what? We just crucified the Messiah. That's what they're saying in that event. What's the point? The point is that God gave witness after witness after witness to help us to recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ is, to help us to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was not just a man living 2,000 years ago in Israel. It's to help us to understand that that man was unique. He was one of a kind. There was none ever like this man. That is because he is God in flesh, Emmanuel. He is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophets and prophecies. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just God in flesh, but he's the second person of the triune God. He is the eternal creator and sustainer of all things. He is sovereign. He is judge. In other words, all of those things are being taught and they're being emphasized and witnessed by those three witnesses that John mentions. Why is this important to us today? It's because who is he that overcomes the world? It's the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe these things about Christ in order for us to have actually embraced the gospel. And so this morning, I hope that this has been a challenge to you, an encouragement. This is a wonderful, rich passage. There's a lot more that could be said about the passage in front of us, but I hope it's encouraged and challenged you and instructed you. If this has been a blessing, I hope that you'll share that, and we'll look forward to talking about the next section of 1 John tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word together, to talk about those three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, that demonstrated to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in flesh. He is the second person of the triune God. He died for our sins so that we could be redeemed. I pray that these truths would really resonate in our hearts today, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Bye now.